The Fantasy Hockey Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and bet $100 and get $100 at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. State restrictions apply. And we're also brought to you by the College Basketball Experience. March Madness is heating up, and you need to subscribe to the College Basketball Experience. It's awesome, baby. And welcome into the Fantasy Hockey Podcast presented by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I'm your host, Justin Bruni. Joining me, as always, is my brother, Nick Olzak. How are we doing, sir?
Doing good. Taking a tough loss already, it looks like, in fantasy to Connor McDavid and company over in Edmonton, down 202-97 on this Wednesday night. Don't think there's any coming back in that one. But yeah, sitting at 13-6 right now, hoping to get a little couple wins here. Standings are really tight right now. I know you're right behind me. There's one other team right behind me, so I could fall down really quick. Got a tough schedule. Hoping I can get through that. Outside of that, hockey season just came to an end, finished on a little 5-game winning streak, which was good. Finished the year, I think, with like 18 points in 23 games, something like that. So nice. Not a bad year. I would be on my own fantasy team with those kind of numbers. Put a lot of shots on goal on. But, yeah, looking forward to getting an episode. A lot of trades to talk about, as the trade deadline is this Friday. So a lot to cover, and, yeah, looking forward to getting into it.
Yeah, we do have a lot of trades to go over. We're going to be covering the NHL trade deadline here. Obviously not fully passed through just yet, but we've got a lot of players to review since our last podcast. So we're going to be going over fantasy implications and, you know, if we expect stock to rise or stock to fall with these players being on the move. Are they in a better situation? Are they in a worse? Some, you know, names will be available, you know, via the waiver wire. I know I picked up a couple of these guys. I also traded away Patrick Kane for a bag of peanuts. I'm not going to try to concentrate on that too much. But yeah, I wound up trading Patrick Kane well before he was traded a couple weeks ago. And yeah, I might feel the pain for that down the stretch, but I also face the burden of holding him the entire season. So I'll take what I can get. I'm still in a good position, but let's dive into it here. I believe Jacob Trychin was just traded right before we hit the airwaves here. He went to Ottawa. He's not added to our notes or show sheet, but any instant reactions to that trade as it happened just before we started shooting here?
I was really surprised by that. They talked a lot about him going to the Los Angeles Kings, but I think the Kings just had too much of an asking price. I think the Coyotes wanted either Brant Clark, Quinn, or Quinn Byfield, and I think a second-round pick. But he goes over to the Ottawa Senators, and they're kind of a team. I think next year they're going to be really good with Jacob Chychrun, and just looking at their decor, you throw him in with a Shabbat, Jake Sanderson. They have him slotted in on the second D pair with Sanderson, Eric Brandstrom. So they've got a really good up-and-coming decor, and I think that's a really good move for them. And, yeah, they gave up, I think it was a first and 2 second-round picks. So not the worst return in the world. I think the first-round pick might hurt a little bit. I know Ottawa is on the bubble. They could be a lottery team. They could very well sneak in the playoffs, but it's just hard to tell with the East being so competitive. But yeah, I like the trade a lot for the Senators for sure, if they can make a push coming up here.
No, it's a great trade from them. Trychin, a nice up-and-coming talent in the NHL right now. His stock, I would say, is definitely going up. Senators, you know, they definitely score a little bit more than Arizona. Both have been kind of gritty teams this season. I know they've definitely pissed off some of our betting cards. I know right now the Coyotes are up over the Stars with just 2 shots on nets. Great start to the night already. It's awesome. Dallas Stars, I think they burned down. Was that the Dallas Stars minus 500? No, it was Carolina last week. Yeah. They were minus 500 to beat Carolina. Or I'm sorry, Carolina was minus 500 to beat Anaheim. Getting my teams mixed around here. Yeah, I've been having some bad luck lately there, so hopefully the Stars will turn it around tonight. Let's move into our actual card here. You know, guys that we had listed up. I don't really have any numbers on Chychrun, but, you know, like I said, I think he's going to be in a good situation with the Ottawa Senators. It's just not the Arizona Coyotes, who are much closer to the bottom, if anything. First up we have is Philip Hronek, recently of the Detroit Red Wings, now traded to the Vancouver Canucks. What are your thoughts on this move?
Yeah, so the Canucks got Hronek in a fourth-round pick in the 2023 draft from Detroit in exchange for a conditional first in the 2023 draft and a second-round pick in the 2023 draft, which for the Detroit Red Wings, it's kind of an interesting move because they're, again, one of those teams that's on the bubble. They could sneak in a wild card, but that East is so competitive. I think a lot of these teams are just having to lick their wounds and kind of rebuild a little bit. And for the Detroit Red Wings, that's the case here, getting another pick. For Vancouver, you kind of get Filip Hronek, who will hopefully be better for them next year, because this year Vancouver has been a dumpster fire. Mm-hmm. They're just shipping everything out. So I was really surprised for them to bring in Hronek and give up those picks. But it does make their defense a little bit better. I know they don't have him listed in daily faceoff right now, but I think he'll be a good addition there with Quinn Hughes and Tyler Myers on their defense. And yeah, I think with a little bit of retooling on their offense, I think they could be a better team with this Hronek move. And I think, yeah, he'll get good minutes there for sure. But if I were to pick a winner in that trade, I would definitely have to say it would probably be the Detroit Red Wings. I think they still have a lot of defensive prospects in the system, like Simon Edvinson coming up here in the next couple of years. And they're not necessarily a win now kind of team. They're still kind of retooling. Mm-hmm. And so I do think it is a good move for them. And looking at Hronek's fantasy value right now, he is 71% rostered, minus seven in the last day. But I very well think that could change. I think he's going to get a bigger raise in ice time. I think he'll be looking at about 23, 24 minutes a night playing in Vancouver. I think he will slot in on the top pair and get that power play time. And yeah, he'll go up from that 19 to 21 minutes a night.
Do you think the more playing time is going to produce a higher average fantasy points per game? He's averaging 6.35 fantasy points per game. I actually kind of feel that number could go down. I mean, it might be playing more, but I don't know if I like the situation as much as I liked the Red Wings right now, because they were scoring, they were winning games, they were on a nice little run. You think that number is going to go up or down?
It's hard to tell. I think it could go up based on who his D partner is. I think if you put him with Quinn Hughes and you put him on the first power play or second power play unit with one of these better guys, I think he could definitely go up. But yeah, I can definitely see where you think he's going to go down, especially with Vancouver being the team they are this year.
All right, the next guy up we have is Shane Gostisfehr. Hasn't played in a little bit, but he's going to be joining the Carolina Hurricanes. He's notched 327 fantasy points this season, a pretty similar average to Filip Hronek. He was at 6.35, Gostisfehr at 6.25 fantasy points per game. He only has one goal and one assist and is plus two in his last month of play. But man, coming over to the Hurricanes, they have a lot of options for him in their lineup. Do you see his average going up or down?
Oh, I think his average is going to go up for sure. He's not going to play as high of a role because he was like a first pair defenseman, but I think he's still going to get a lot of time over there. And yeah, all the Hurricanes gave up was a third round pick in 2026. And so I think it's a really good move for them right now. Daily Faceoff has him slotted on the third D pair with Calvin DeHaan. And I think that could change. They also have him on the second power play unit with Brent Burns, but overall a really good move by the Hurricanes for sure. They're really looking like a deep team going into these playoffs here. And looking at his fantasy value, he's still got a lot of value. I know he hasn't played in a while, but I think his value will go up once he slots in their lineup. He is plus 4% rostered in the last day. So clearly other owners are starting to see, hey, he's going to slot in their lineup and he could be good. And I could even see him slotting up the lineup, maybe playing on the second pair with bumping Brady Shea down, or kind of just going all over. He can play wherever. I think he is one of those guys. But yeah, definitely a good move for sure. And I think a good add in fantasy as well for when he gets back in the lineup.
He hasn't been, as a defenseman, he hasn't honestly been great. Like, he has a great scoring touch, but I think this fit with Carolina is just too good because the team is just so good defensively. They're going to be able to make up for that. So I'm with you. They can put him anywhere in the lineup. I didn't see when it was updated with Calvin DeHaan, because when I looked at it, he wasn't in the lineup, but that's where I was seeing him get tossed in, because I don't know if you still give him like those top four type of minutes just yet in that system, kind of, you know, let us get his legs under him, and maybe he, maybe he can get himself up to that top spot with Brent Burns. But I think no matter what, like you'd said, on the power play, he's always going to have a key role. Next name up, not so sexy, Lars Eller. He only has 200 fantasy points on the season, 3.38. Keep this one short and sweet. Moving over to the Colorado Avalanche, he's set up as their third line center. Stock going up or Stock going down?
I think Stock is honestly going to stay the same on Lars Eller. I think he's a good middle six center, and I think he fits that role really nicely, but I just don't see him I don't see him going off in that middle six role. What was the trade? Yeah, they came over from Washington in exchange for a second round pick in 2025, which I think is a little
pretty
bit of a
high return.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a large return for a middle six center considering the value that we've.
Yeah, he scored 7 goals and 9 assists this season. Like, I mean, you get a second round pick for this year, the next five, I think you'll take that.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely really good value for Washington, who they're kind of going to start to take the decline. I think they're starting to see they might not make the playoffs. They're kind of another one of those bubble teams in that competitive Eastern Conference. But I think that's really good, especially for how valuable draft picks have been in these trades. Like people are in these teams are just getting so much value for these draft picks. And we'll talk about them more later in the show. But yeah, I think that's a definite win for Washington. And for me, I think Lars Eller Stock stays the same. I think he's going to be playing kind of the same role. I think he was like a third, fourth line center in Washington. Right. So he kind of comes in that same role. He'll be a good middle six, like I said, face-off winning center to play on the penalty kill. But yeah, definitely think his value will stay the same for sure. But a good move for the Capitals to get him out of there.
Something to look out for is when Landeskog comes back, because if and when he gets back on the roster, someone's going to move down. You'll probably see Lars Eller playing with Evan Rodriguez or JT Compher. So I think that would be a nice little boost to their line if and when that happens. Right now he's playing with Dennis Malgin and Matthew Nieto. So obviously you'd like to, see another scoring piece added to that line, excuse me. But when that happens, could be in a good spot. He has no goals and just 1 assist in his last 30 days. Hopefully the new Dreds will treat him right. Next up, this was a shocking one. Read this wrong. It was scratching my eyes. Jonathan Quick to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Talk about a change of scenery going from Los Angeles to Columbus, Ohio. Man, that's going from somewhere to nowhere real quick. He has 182 fantasy points on the season. He's averaging 5.86 fantasy points per game, and he has 3 wins in the last month, just 55 saves. He's now going to be splitting the net with Elvis Merzlikins. What do you think about Jonathan Quick in Ohio?
Honestly, I heard he was pretty rattled getting moved over there.
I would be too, man.
Yeah, well, he had no trade clause. He didn't have a no-move clause or no trade clause or anything. He's just a veteran of the team, and no one expected him to get moved. But he gets moved in this deal. There was kind of a big haul where Columbus acquired Quick, a conditional first-round pick in 2023, and a third-round pick in 2024. For Vladislav Gavrikov and Jonas Korpisalo. And I think that from what I heard, that they only threw Quick in because it was the only way they could get the deal to go through. And nobody wanted Cal Peterson because Cal Peterson is just falling to the bottom of the barrel. Phoenix Copley, he's too hot right now to move him. He's sitting like 18-4-2 on the season. So you move Jonathan Quick, who's the odd man out. But I wouldn't even be surprised if he gets flipped coming up here. I think he could very well go to another team that needs a backup. I saw a list earlier of teams he could potentially go to, possibly the Tampa Bay Lightning.
So he's not even trying to go to Columbus is what you're telling me. He's trying to get out of there before he's even touched down in the state.
Basically, that's just what I've heard so far. And supposedly I've heard rumors he may not even report to the team, which would cause a whole thing. Because I wouldn't want to report to Columbus. Like, you're going from sunny Los Angeles in a playoff position to basically the bottom of the toilet bowl.
Hey, Corey Crawford got one look of New Jersey and was like, nah, I'm not living here. I'm going to retire. No thanks.
But from the fantasy perspective, I don't see a lot of value here. I think he'll probably just be a backup goalie. He's not going to take the starts from Merzlikins based on the way he's played this year. Right. And I don't see him getting the majority of the starts. I think he'll mostly just get the starts in back-to-backs for the most part if he does stay in Columbus. But yeah, I definitely think there's a lot of other places they could go if they want to flip him. Because I think, Seattle, you could send him there. I think the Golden Knights could use some goaltending depth with everything they've gone through. Right. There's Tampa there on that list. I think Edmonton, you could even throw them in the mix. Buffalo, you could throw them in there, I guess. But yeah, there's a lot of teams that you could flip him to, because yeah, the only reason he was there was just to get that deal done. But yeah, not a lot going for Mr. Quick and on the fantasy side. But yeah, definitely it's hard to say if it's a good move for the Kings, because you know, you give up a longtime vet like that. But I'd say it's a good move. You get a guy like Gavrikov who's going to make your defense way deeper, and you get rid of a large cap hit in Jonathan Quick.
No, it's a good move, you know, for business terms, but you know, Jonathan Quick and the fan base, they're not going to be too happy about it on Jonathan Quick night when you know, they're trying to sell bobbleheads and put his jersey in the rafters. That's for sure. Yeah, not really a big fantasy presence right now. Just 5.86 fantasy points per game as a goalie. That's kind of a no-no. That's like, you know, no man's land. But like you said, if he gets moved to a contender, you know, where he might be able to, you know, add in some, you know, roundabout production for you on your fantasy roster, you know, he might be someone to look at. So yeah, follow the Jonathan Quick timeline as we close in on the deadline here. Jonas Korpisalo, who did get shipped to Los Angeles in the trade, excuse me, he's averaging 11.24 fantasy points per game. I'm going to say his stock is up, even with playing alongside Phoenix Copley, who's absolutely on fire right now. I would say Korpisalo and Copley make a pretty decent tandem, and I don't mind adding Korpisalo if he is available.
Yeah, I could get down with that, especially the LA Kings. They're in a really good position in that Pacific Division. I believe they're sitting in second place right now, and that move, just getting Gavrikov, bringing in Korpisalo, who will be a really good backup for them, I think. I think in Columbus, he just kind of had nothing in front of him, you know, being on a tanking team. Now, all of a sudden, you're on a decent team. You got a team in front of you where you're not going to be facing 35, 40 shots a game. I think he'll do a lot better, and I think, yeah, definitely a goalie to get in the rotation for sure. And the other thing is, too, Phoenix Copley, he is definitely going to get some fantasy value, because I know him and Jonathan Quick, for a while, they split starts, but I know Copley kind of got the majority down the stretch here the last couple weeks. So I definitely think Phoenix Copley's value, as well as Korpisalo's value, will both go up here in the next couple weeks, because now Copley's the guy. He's going to be the one to take him to the playoffs, and he's going to be the one that I would add for my fantasy team, because my only goalie right now is Darcy Kemper, and he is in a bad spot right now. But yeah, definitely like Korpisalo's stock for sure.
Yeah, he's definitely someone that's buyable right now in fantasy, whether you want to try to add him off the waiver wire, buy him at a low-cost trade. I think he's a very good target, especially this next guy up who you still might be able to buy low on. But before we get to him, we're going to hit a quick word from our sponsors. WynnBET is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is active in a bunch of states, and there are tons of ways to win, including live betting and same-game parlays, aka WynnBET's build your own bet. March Madness is almost here, and plus there are plenty of ways to win, including the NBA, NHL, and XFL action. Sign up today to receive a special offer: bet 100, get 100. This is limited to state availability. And of course, for all of our degens out there, you can win the biggest long shot parlay of the week by hitting the longest long shot parlay of the week. You win $1,000 free credit, excuse me. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, please call 1-800-522-4700.
The SGPN merch store continues to add new items to their store every day. Head over to store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com to get your favorite shirts, hats, sweats, and hoodies.
Get that swag. All right, next guy up here we have is Jesus Christ himself, Patrick Kane. 375 fantasy points this season, averaging 7 fantasy points per game, 98 fantasy points in his last 30 days, almost a quarter of his season was done in the last month, 7 goals, 4 assists, and is a +3 in the last month with the Blackhawks. Not sure when he's making his debut with the Rangers, he's not with them tonight. I know they're playing Philly. They're losing to him right now. What are your thoughts on this move? I think we both have to believe that his stock is going to rise tremendously.
Oh, yeah. The stock is going to rise tremendously. And for, as a Blackhawks fan, it's sad to see him go. Like, he's been there since you were in high school in 2007 when you just graduated high school.
Yep.
And he's been around my whole hockey career when I started watching around 2012. And yeah, it's really sad to see him gone, but he's going to get a fresh start over in New York. He's going to be playing, I think they said, on the second line. He'll be slotted in with Vincent Trocheck and Artemi Panarin. So I expect Trocheck's stock to go up as well, playing alongside those two guys. And I'd imagine That power play is just going to be deadly. You're going to have Zibanejad, Tarasenko, Kane, Panarin, and Adam Fox. Like, good night. Mm-hmm. They're going to be something over there. And yeah, the haul was really interesting.
Not a haul. Let's not call it a haul.
Yeah, but we definitely got fleeced for sure as the Rangers acquired Patrick Kane and defenseman Cooper Zech in a three-team trade that had the Arizona Coyotes included as well. And they received defenseman Andy Walensky, a conditional second-round pick, which turns into a first-round pick if the Rangers make the conference finals, and a fourth-round pick in 2025 from the Rangers, and defenseman Ville Saarijärvi from the Coyotes. And, yeah, it drives me nuts seeing some of these other trades where teams can get first-round picks and all these second-round picks to where we get this. Like, come on. He's still Patrick Kane. He still brings a lot to the table. And I think it just came down to an issue with management where it was like, hey, I want to get out of here. And the Rangers were the only team that wanted him, had a really low buying price, and they just had to take it because he just wanted out. And, yeah, definitely a win for the New York Rangers. And on the fantasy side, definitely a buy option for sure. He went on that little streak right after you traded him away, and now he's on the Rangers.
So bad. Like, literally, I think the day I traded him away, he scored like a hat trick or something. It was stupid.
Yeah, when they played Toronto, I remember it was him for Nikolaj Ehlers, which at the time looked like a good deal. Kane was looking like a bum out there.
He was, and then he's like, yeah. Hey, you know what? I do, in fact, want to get traded.
Yeah, let me start doing my job. And, yeah, he's picked up as of late, and I know he's not playing tonight, but I know he's expected to make his debut tomorrow night at Madison Square Garden. So looking to see how he does. And Kane's schedule coming up here looks very, very favorable. You've got Ottawa tomorrow. Then you got Boston on the 4th, Montreal on the 9th, and Buffalo on the 11th. So some really favorable contests here. And I think, yeah, playing in that deep top six, I think he'll have a good role on the Rangers. But yeah, just sad to see him go on the Hawks because we have nothing now. Jonathan Toews is out. He's probably going to retire after next year. Who's just the face of our franchise now? Like Seth Jones?
I don't need anyone to be the face of the franchise other than Connor Bedard. I just need them to lose.
But it doesn't help when they go on those winning streaks where you win four in a row and then you get, you know, walked on by Arizona and Anaheim right after. Like, come on.
No, it's tough. It's tough to see him go for sure, but it's a super flashy move for the Rangers. Definitely, I'm with you there with buying Trocheck stock. Obviously, Panarin, if you can still, you know, grab any bit of him, but I still think that Kane's going to be, you know, offering a pretty favorable price. I mean, yeah, he's going to cost you a lot more than he did last week in the month prior, but, you know, I still feel like he's not going to be, you know, upwards of what you would have paid for him, you know, this time last year. You know, he's going to have a big finish to the season, but, you know, getting an appropriate price, you know, that's going to be on your league mates who's more willing to part with him. The next name up here, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, what I hated about the trade was we couldn't get a roster player back. Like Walensky, Saarijärvi, they're not going to play in the lineup. I would rather we get even like a Kravtsov, or I want a Kapokako. If we could get just someone that can slot into our lineup and actually make a difference, it would have just, I think it would have made the trade a little bit more fair to some degree. But yeah, we just highway robbery.
Right, I want here. Less difference makers. I want losses. Can we trade those? Can we trade for a loss?
Well, I thought Kako was a good guy because he's not going to make the biggest difference in the world. But you get guys like Bedard or Fantilli that could come in the lineup, and then he'll be able to play a lot better with them still young, like 21, 22 years old. And yeah, I was just disappointed we couldn't get someone young back. Even like a Philip Hedel, I think he would have been really good in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm a big Hedel fan. He would have been awesome with us. Next up, we have not as exciting Matthias Ekholm moving over to the Edmonton Oilers. Try to keep this one a little bit more quick. 4.46 fantasy points per game this season. Stock going up or stock going down?
Yeah, I think on Ekholm, stock is going to go up going over to the Edmonton Oilers with a sixth-round pick for Tyson Barry, some no-name guy, and a first-round pick. And as well as a fourth-round pick in 2024. So I like this trade. I think Ekholm's value definitely is going to go up for sure, especially with that high-powered offense in front of him that the Edmonton Oilers have. Currently, they haven't slotted on the second D pair with Evan Bouchard. So I'd also expect Evan Bouchard's value to go up a little bit. And they do have him on the second power play unit as well. as well as PK1. So he's definitely going to get a lot of ice time over there. I think he'll get a little bit more ice time than he did in Nashville. But yeah, overall, I thought this was a good trade for both sides. Both sides favored on this. But yeah, in terms of his fantasy value, I think it's going to go up for sure from what he's got right now, sitting at 5 goals and 13 assists on the year.
Just one assist in the last 30 days. He's going to be playing alongside Evan Bouchard. I think that's a good opportunity for him. 253 fantasy points on the season. I'm going to say it goes up a slight bump. Obviously, he's not amazing, just 5 goals and 13 assists on the year. So I think we still have to be kind of practical about what he's going to be able to provide, but it is a much better situation. I'm not an immense buyer of him, but at 21% rostered, enough people feel that he's worth holding. So, yeah, I mean, if you're desperate for defense, I'd go grab him. But, I mean, honestly, like I'm sure you saw I picked up Gostisbehere. I think that he would be in a better situation than him. So, you know, these are definitely for candidates for, like, deeper formats.
Right.
The next guy up, also a pretty similar stat line, Luke Shen. He has 250 fantasy points on the season, 4.53 fantasy points per game. He's now with the Maple Leafs. Man, the Maple Leafs really loaded up on defense. They traded for him, Eric Gustafsson, Jake McCabe. I'm really interested to see how the lineup is going to fall out or fall into place, I should say. It almost looks like Mark Giordano might be a healthy scratch. I'm not sure. But getting to Luke Shen, again, I don't think it makes a big difference. I mean, I know that you and I have talked about him before, about how he's a big difference maker in leagues that account for checking and hits. If you get points for that, if it's a category, whatever it is, obviously he's going to be more valuable to you. But he does have 1 goal and 4 assists in the last 30 days, and he's a +2. Not in the lineup right now. Again, it's I have no idea how this is going to shake out. I know McCabe right now is paired with Brody. Gustafsson, I know, is going to clock in because he's been absolutely amazing. He's been a stud on the power play this year. Has 11 assists also in the last 30 days. Of these guys, like, who would you rather have? Like, who's going to be like the big show out of these new additions to the Maple Leafs defense? Shen, Gustafsson, or Jake McCabe?
I think Jake McCabe is going to get a really good look there on the second D pair with Brody. I think he's not on the power play right now, but he's going to get some time on the PK1. I think he's going to definitely show off his ability better. He's been stuck on bad teams for a long time, sitting in Buffalo for the long time, then moving over to Chicago. So I think he's going to get a chance to show what he's got. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Maple Leafs aren't done here moving with their defensemen, because all of a sudden you have an odd man out. I've heard rumors about Justin Hull. He could be leaving the team. I know Timothy Liljegren brings a lot of value with him. So I think they could definitely get another guy in there, maybe package him with like one of their fourth liners. Maybe like
Ladrigan's got to be out of the lineup, right? Like, I don't know how you keep him in the lineup and Giordano with Shen, Gustafsson, and McCabe. And for me, Gustafsson is the biggest winner here. Like, he has 365 fantasy points on the year, 5.97 fantasy points per game, nearly 6 points per game. And like I said, he has 11 assists in the last 30 days. Like, he might have the highest point total of anyone on this list here that's getting moved thus far anyways, which is very interesting to me. I feel like he's going to have a big opportunity on their power play, obviously playing with some, you know, top level scorers. This is also a team, I guess we'll just kind of throw it in here now, they acquired Ryan O'Reilly. Like, they're really looking to make a run here, and I'm really interested to see how their special teams play out. I definitely see, you know, O'Reilly and Gustafsson maybe getting together on a power play group. And obviously, of course, you know, up there with the Stars, you know, Matthews, Marner, Tavares, it's going to be interesting. So I think he's the big winner there. I mean, obviously, you know, each of these guys in their own right are winners because they were on bad teams and now they're on a good team.
Yeah. They've really shaken it up in Toronto here the last little bit, bringing in, Lafferty, McCabe, all these defensemen. They've like changed up like a quarter of their roster just within this last couple weeks here, and we haven't even hit the trade deadline yet, so they could very well still keep going, try and make some moves. Like I said, no, Justin Hull was someone they talked about moving. Liljegren, because you can't have a seventh defenseman, I think, that's going to affect your cap, that's just going to be a healthy scratch all year. I don't think they're really in a position to do that. I think they could add more forward depth to, in a sense, probably their fourth line. I could see a guy like Aston Reese get moved, or even like a Kerfoot. I know he has some good value over there. So definitely a lot to look at with the Toronto Maple Leafs. But circling back to Luke Shen, they only gave up a third-round pick for him. What more could you ask for? Good deal. I think you get him out of Vancouver. bring him over. I think it's definitely a good move for the Leafs.
In this trade, actually, for Luke Shen, I believe they swapped Rasmus Sandin. Is that right? Yeah.
That was a separate trade, I believe.
Okay, so a separate trade. Mm-hmm. But Sandin does come to the Capitals. He has 4 goals and 16 assists on the season. Not too much to write home about in the fantasy atmosphere. 233 fantasy points, 4.5 fantasy points per game, just 1 goal and 3 assists, but is a +5 in the last month. They have him lined up with Trevor Van Riemsdyk on the second defensive pairing. I'm really not that excited about this move. I think it's a kind of a unilateral move. I feel like his stock could stay the same or maybe even go down a bit. Any different opinion there?
When I look at the trade, I think from a trade standpoint, it looks really good. You get Sandin for Gustafson and a first round pick, which I think is good value. Gustafson brings a lot to the table along with this first round pick, which, you know, in the Bedard draft, teams are moving a lot. And yeah, I think Sandin, he's not going to do too much in Washington, I don't think, but I think Gustafson is going to have a way bigger effect over there. Like right now, Gustafson has 7 goals, 31 assists on the year, while Sandin only has 4 goals and 16 assists. And you just kind of get a defenseman swap as well as throwing in the first round pick. But yeah, I don't see Sandin's stock really changing too much. Not a lot going on for him. I know playing with Trevor Van Riemsdyk, I don't think they will generate a lot of offense. I don't really know Trevor Van Riemsdyk to be too much of an offensive defenseman. I know he plays more of a defensive-minded game. But, I mean, he is on the first power play with Alex Ovechkin on the point, so we could get some looks there. But, yeah, I don't see his numbers changing drastically.
Yeah, it feels, like I said, like a very unilateral move. His stock will either stay the same or potentially go down, at least from, like, a per-game standpoint. Next up, we have we just did Eric Gustafson. Sorry, Marcus Johansson, only 2% rostered. He's coming over to the Wild from the Capitals. Does have 13 goals and 15 assists on the season. Hasn't done anything with the Wild just yet, but I feel like his stock should be going up. His prospects should be going up. I just don't know if it's really going to matter to us in fantasy. What do you think?
Yeah, I think in terms of fantasy, it's hard to really say right now. I think he could get some good ice time. He could very well slot in on the third line, maybe move a guy like Brandon Duhaime down, or on the second line, moving a guy like Marcus Foligno down. But this Minnesota Wild, they changed up their lines a lot. Like right now, they have Ryan Hartman centering the first line. So it's really hard to say. And yeah, it's just for me right now, I would pass on Johansson on a fantasy perspective. But yeah, in the trade, it was just another trade for a third round pick from the Capitals. So I mean, it's
third
not
round
gonna
pick. Really feel bad. It feels pretty solid for them getting that third round pick back. That's for sure.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, these picks are really valuable. Everyone's moving their picks around. A lot of these contenders who know they're not going to be in that race for a top 10, top 15 pick, they're moving their picks. And yeah, you're going to see a lot of teams stack up on these picks. And the Capitals are doing just that. And in the process, they move out Mojo. And yeah, on the fantasy side, don't see him doing a lot.
All right, next up. Actually, we're gonna wait because this is another big name here. We're going to hit a quick word from the sponsor. We'll be right back after this. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog is your home for off-season NFL best ball drafts. But they also got you covered for a ton of other daily games, including the NBA, NHL, and PGA. Underdog Fantasy is a great way to get down on your favorite player props if you're not available in your state. Head over to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for a 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. Okay, and we're back. This next name up here, pretty excited about this one. Timo Meier coming over to the New Jersey Devils. If you haven't noticed from this show, the East has loaded up on talent. My goodness. The Rangers are loaded. The Devils are loaded. Carolina is loaded. Like, this is going to be a fun playoff run for all these teams and, you know, specifically for us as fans. So very excited about this move, especially, you know, being a Devils fan, seeing Meier, you know, move over from the shit show that was the San Jose Sharks to now the gleaming, shining turd that is the New Jersey Devils. Let's ride. Going to be most likely suited up on that top line, in my opinion. Playing with Heischer, playing with Jack Hughes, any preference?
Yeah, I think they'll do really good over there. This trade was so weird just looking at it. There were so many pieces. You had the Devils acquiring Timo Meier and Timur Ibragimov, defenseman Scott Harrington, Santeri Hakataka, goalie Zach Edmund, a fifth-round pick in 2024 from the Sharks, for Fabian Zetterlund, who could make the Sharks lineup a little bit better, Andreas Janssen, Shakir something, I'm not even going to try and pronounce that, Nikita, last name, I'm not even going to try and pronounce, a conditional first-round pick
you're
in
the,
2023.
You're the name guy. What are you talking about?
No, I'm not kidding. This guy could be the new Wi-Fi. I guess I can try. Mukabdulin. Yeah, I guess that's how you could say it. Shakir Mukabdulin. It's conditional second round draft pick in 2024 and a seventh round pick in 2024. So a really complicated deal here for them to get that done. And yeah, Timo Meier, I think, is going to have an instant effect when he comes into this lineup here. He'll probably play on this first line, I think, with Nico Hischier. I'd like to see him play with Jack Hughes, I think. Jesper Bratt is a left right wing, so he could very well slide over. You could see Sharon Govich drop down the lineup, but this team is just really deep, especially you look down their lineup, even on their third line with Palat, Halla, and Jesper Boqvist. Like, that's a really deep lineup. Then on the first line, you got Tatar, Mercer, Hischier. This Devils team, they're looking to make a run here, and it is very obvious with these moves they're making. And in terms of his fantasy value, definitely going to go up without a question. I know he's not making his debut tonight due to an upper body injury, as the Devils are on the road against Colorado. But when he does get in the lineup, he will be an instant difference maker, playing on a much better team on the other side of the country here.
No, it's going to be awesome. I'm very excited to see him in the lineup. I know he's day-to-day right now. He should be making his debut here in the next game or so. And yeah, very interested to see who he plays with. Doesn't really matter whether he's on the second line, on the first line. I'd like to see, you know, some attempts to maybe pair him with Tatar or Palat. I mean, obviously, Palat's on the third line right now, but like you said, they have so many options to play with in that lineup. It's going to be super interesting. And yeah, whatever you can do to get Timo Meier, he's not going to be, you know, available on free agency, but making a move for him again, you're going to have to pay more than you would when he was in San Jose, but now, you know, it's worth it. Just 3 goals and 1 assist in the last month and was a -6, but he averages 7.5 fantasy points per game. So definitely some action to get down on. The next guy up here was Ivan Barbashev of now the Vegas Golden Knights, previously with the St. Louis Blues. Didn't really have a pulse this season, but we've seen what he can do. Last year, he had a great season statistically, but this year, just 10 goals, 19 assists on the season. He's averaging 3.92 fantasy points per game. I got to imagine this number's going up.
Yeah, that number's definitely going up. He's slotted on the first line right now with Jack Eichel and Jonathan Marchessault, so definitely going to get some more ice time there. I know in St. Louis, he was kind of a third line, fourth line guy. He never really got much top 6 minutes, as you had guys like Robert Thomas, who could play the middle, and Ryan O'Reilly. But yeah, definitely a really good move here. And it was just a straight up trade, no complications. It was Zach Dean for Ivan Barbashev. Zach Dean going over the Blues, 21 years old, could be a decent prospect if he pans out, but doesn't look like a lot, and a really good return for the Golden Knights, who are going to get a roster player who you can play on your first line. And I think he could play anywhere in this lineup. I could see him playing on the third line with Kessel and Chandler Stephenson, move Carrier down to the fourth. There's a lot of options you could do with Barbashev, very multi-use player. And on the fantasy side, I would get on him now if you plan to get him, as he is plus 14% roster in the last day, sitting at 27% roster with the center left wing designation, as now he's going to be playing the wing over in Vegas. So he gets that designation. 10 goals, 19 assists on the year. But yeah, I definitely see his stock going up as he's playing on a much better team. And it's so nice as a Hawks fan to finally see the Blues falling out of the playoff picture. Like, they've been sitting there too long, finally falling out, finally watching them rebuild. So always love to see it as a Hawks fan.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to see, you know, more Jordan Binnington lowlights. So let's keep riding. Let's keep riding. Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing really else to add there. I mean, like you said, it's a much better situation, much better team. I'm not sure where he's going to fall in the lineup just yet, he's playing on line two with line one with Eichel and Marchessault. Sorry, I was peeping the next line. So, I mean, that's going to be a good group. You know me, I'm not a big Eichel fan, but I love Marchessault, so I think it'll balance itself out. Next guy up who I'm very excited about is Evgeny Dadonov. Previously with the Montreal Canadiens, now with the Dallas Stars. I was very interested to see the Stars were going to be buying at the deadline. I was saying Kane was going to go there, figured him and Joe Pavelski would link up, went with his better buddy in Panarin. It's all right. I get it. Playing with each other on team versus the Olympics, a little bit different story. But Dadonov going down to Dallas, playing alongside, Wyatt Johnson and Jamie Benn, that's going to be awesome. Like, that's a great line. Obviously, Jamie Benn, resurging this season with the offense. But Dadonov just 176 fantasy points on the season, averaging under three and a half fantasy points per game. This is another one that's going to be a big riser and a big buy candidate right now.
Yeah, for sure. I think that just adds a little bit more depth to this Dallas Stars team that they really need. And I very well don't think they're going to be done. I think a lot of these Western teams are going to have to keep making moves, especially if the East keeps getting more competitive. And I see Dallas Stars as someone who aren't going to hang up the phones just yet. But bringing in Dadonov here and another straight-up deal for Denis Gurianov, definitely going to play a big role in that second line. And he's a guy, I think, who you put him with the right guys, I think he could score. I think if he played a whole season with Dallas, I could very well see him playing or scoring, 25, 30 goals a year. And on the other end, you send over Denis Gurianov, who was another middle six player who's going to get a much better opportunity and could have some fantasy value playing on the first line with Hoffman and Suzuki over there. So definitely some value on both sides of this trade. But yeah, I think it's a fair deal on both sides. And I think Dadonov's stock is definitely going to go up being a top six forward on a playoff team like this. As well, he's only got 5 goals, 14 assists on the year playing in Montreal, but he's now going to get a way better opportunity the next couple games here. I like the schedule for the Stars. Is you got Arizona at home, Chicago on the road, Colorado, then Calgary, Buffalo. So I like the schedule coming up for Dadonov. And yeah, his ownership rate, definitely someone that's hard to say no to.
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely want to pick him up off of waivers right now if I can. Target him in a low-cost trade. Definitely some low-hanging target. He'll get power play time as well. And just a very good situation. They actually did wind up tying it. They were down 2-0. Ottinger has 5 shots against and 3 saves. Good work, buddy. Keep it up. Next guy up we have is Nino Niederreiter, previously of the Nashville Predators, now with the Winnipeg Jets. In the last month, he had actually 5 goals but 0 assists. He was, he was definitely scoring a little bit more, upping his average to 4.93 fantasy points per game. He's playing on line 2 with Adam Lowry and Nikolai Ehlers. I think it's a good situation, but I don't know if I expect his number to just climb immensely. 278 fantasy points per season seems kind of like what you're going to get out of him. A lot of pucks on net, fair amount of goals. Not really a facilitator, though. Like, I feel like it's kind of a unilateral move. What do you feel?
And yeah, I think for the Preds, it's a good move. You get a second round pick back in 2024 for Niederreiter. But yeah, he's going to come over to Winnipeg. And I think he's kind of a coin flip. We've seen him do well on other teams in the past. He could very well be that guy, but he could also just very much fall off and really not provide that scoring that they're expecting. But for them, I think it's a good move getting another middle six piece. He's on the first power play with Wheeler and Scheifele right now. So there's some upside with that. And I feel like that line, Niederreiter, Lowry, and Ehlers, just seems like a really weird line. And so I don't see him doing too much there. And I think in Nashville, too, he played a little bit of a higher role because they were not as good of a team. But now he's on a better team where you've got other guys ahead of him like Connor, Scheifele, Wheeler, Ehlers. So definitely optimistic about it for sure. And I think he could also fall down the lineup as right now Cole Perfetti is out, as well as Pierre-Luc Dubois and Mason Appleton. So he could end up falling to the third, fourth line. But for right now, I would pass on him. He's got a little bit of a harder schedule. Got Edmonton and a home-and-home, San Jose, then Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So a few hard matchups here. And just down the stretch, I don't see him being too successful as these guys come back in the lineup.
Yeah, like I said, it's a pretty unilateral move, in my opinion. He's 20% rostered. So if you want to take a shot at him, by all means, you can do so. If you're if you're a big buyer that the Winnipeg Jets are going to be, solid down the stretch, by all means, go ahead. Mm. He's in a better situation than he was. But again, I don't think it's like light years better. Next one up we have is Dmitry Orlov getting moved from the Capitals to the Bruins. Pretty good trade here for him, getting 261 fantasy points on the year. 5.7 fantasy points per game. Solid. 2 goals, 5 assists in his last 30 days. Going to be playing alongside Charlie McAvoy. That's a good situation. I like this move a lot for Orlov. Give me stock up and definitely give me as a buy target. He's 33% rostered. Definitely someone that you can get on the cheap for free, or, you know, again, a trade that's not going to cost you a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think old Bobby Orlov over here is making a big impact in their lineup.
I see what you did there. That's nice. I like that. I like that. Yeah. Bobby Orlov.
Yeah, Bobby Orlov coming in. Had 3 points the other night against Calgary in a crazy game. I think Ullmark saw like 58 shots or something. I don't know if you caught any of that game. Shots were like 58-17 in favor of the Flames. Ullmark bailed him out of that one. Nice. And yeah, 2 assists up against Edmonton on this little West Coast road trip. So, and yeah, he's making immediate changes in this lineup. Second power play unit slotted on with Hampus Lindholm, plus 12% in the last day. Definitely someone who's going to grow in value for sure. And I like some of these games coming up here. You got Buffalo in the second, Rangers on the fourth, Edmonton on the ninth, Detroit on the 11th, all of these games at home. And then they go to Detroit on the 12th. So you got a long homestand, and Boston, they are very good on home ice. Only 2 regulation losses on home ice this year. And the trade that sent him over was another weird one. And they got the Bruins got Dmitry Orlov and Garnet Hathaway, who Garnet Hathaway will be another really good fourth line piece, bring some grit to their lineup, which they really need coming into this playoff stretch. They got him from the Capitals in this 3-team trade that also included Minnesota. And the Bruins got forward prospect Andrei Svetlov from Minnesota, and then the Capitals got Craig Smith, a first round pick in 2023, a third round pick in 2024, and a second round pick in 2025. And the Wild in this trade also acquired a 5th round pick from the Bruins in 2023. So a lot of picks, a lot of players getting moved around, but definitely love the addition of Orlov in Boston for sure. And yeah, definitely get on his fantasy value right now, because it's on the rise.
Absolute smash. And just again, a huge upgrade from one team to the other, going from the Capitals to the Bruins. Great situation, and again, super available. 33% rostered. If not, he won't cost you a lot. Next up, we kind of touched on him a little bit, Ryan O'Reilly. I think that we're both buying his stock. He was averaging 4.25 fantasy points per game this season. He had 5 goals and 3 assists in the last month, now playing alongside John Tavares and William Nylander. I mean, playing with Tavares, come on, dude, that's going to be killer. Like, that's going to be amazing for his stock. Have to believe that his numbers are going to go up. He's actually scored 76 of his fantasy points, 76 of 191 in the last 30 days. So kind of similar to the Patrick Kane scenario where, you know, he didn't like really turn it on until it was like time to get traded, which I thought was kind of fun. But yeah, another candidate. 62% rostered, maybe not going to be on your waiver wire, but definitely going to be in some, but you can go buy him for cheap. I still don't think he's going to cost you a lot. Seeing that negative 21, minus 21 next to his name is definitely going to help get some deals done still.
Playing on the second power play unit with Yarncroke Bunting, that second line, like you mentioned, with Nylander and Tavares, he's bound to get some scoring touches going here. They're on a little West Coast road trip where they've got Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver. Then they hit up New Jersey before heading home on the 11th against Edmonton, which I will be in attendance of that game. So I'm hoping to see some O'Reilly scoring, and Buffalo on the 13th. So yeah, not a bad schedule coming up here. And the trade was another haul here, sending Ryan O'Reilly, Noah Chari to Toronto in this 3-team deal with St. Louis and Minnesota, where the Blues acquired Mikhail Abramov, Adam Gaudet, a first-round pick in 2023, and a third-round pick in 2023, as well as a second-round pick in 2024. And the Wild were also involved in this, and they acquired a fourth-round pick in 2025 in exchange for taking on some of O'Reilly's cap. And I will tell you what, it's really interesting watching these teams get creative with the salary cap, because you're seeing, you know, a lot of teams that are willing to eat cap to be able to afford these players. Like, for example, in the Patrick Kane deal, we saw Arizona eat, you know, another 50% of the 5.5. So at the end of the day, they're only paying him, I believe, 2.6 something in the Rangers, and that's only how much he's on their books. And with the O'Reilly deal, he's only making 3.75. So these teams are going all in on these rentals. because yeah, guys like Kanan O'Reilly only have 1 year left on their contracts. So at the end of the season, they're probably going to hit free agency because you're simply not going to be able to afford them. But yeah, good move for the Blues, and definitely a lot of fantasy value on the table. And he's -2% roster in the last day, so teams are dropping him. So very well might be able to snag him.
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't know why the why the masses are letting him go. Definitely a good time to grab him. Wasn't really ownable up until this last month. So I'm all about it. Go grab you some Ryan O'Reilly if available. Again, nice little buy low trade target. And lastly on the list here, we have Vladimir Tarasenko, 266 fantasy points this season. Still 5.73 fantasy points per game on a bad St. Louis Blues team. Awesome. Now going over to the Rangers. He scored in his debut. You couldn't write it any better. He hasn't scored since. He has not scored since. They are playing right now against the Flyers. It's 2-2. There's about 3.5 to go in the third. Maybe he gets lucky tonight. He's been playing alongside Zibanejad and Chris Kreider. That line has scored 2 goals tonight, and they were down 2-1. So shout out to them. Nice, you know, stick tap. Good stuff. But you know, please don't lose, you know, my money line pick here. You guys are killing me. And the team in general, I think, like, they've lost quite a few in a row here. They beat LA recently, but before that, they lost what, 4 in a row? That was interesting.
Yeah.
And that included the game that he premiered where he had scored against Calgary. That was like super interesting. But obviously more help on the way with Patrick Kane. Could we see a Patrick Kane Tarasenko line?
It's really hard to tell. I think Panarin and Kane will stay together for the most part. That just seems like the better line. I personally think Patrick Kane's a little bit better than Vladimir Tarasenko. But again, another good move for the New York Rangers, as it was another one of those haul deals, as they got, where is it? I'll come back to it when I pull it up. But yeah, a really good deal. Like I said, going to be on that first line with Kreider and Zibanejad. Definitely a lot of options for him to score up there. And yeah, he's going to grow in value, I think, especially with these other guys. And I was hearing a thing about their power play. You know, it's going to be probably Panarin, Kane, Zibanejad, Tarasenko, and Fox. And so going to get a lot of good looks there. And right now, he may not be doing the greatest things in the world, but I think down the stretch, you'd be patient with a guy like this, and he will give back to you. And I like this schedule. I like the contest against Ottawa, like Boston. I think that's going to be a really good game going into Boston with this new roster. Then you got Montreal and Buffalo. And now that I've got the haul pulled up, it was Tarasenko and defenseman Nico Mikola from the Blues in exchange for forward Sammy Blais going back to St. Louis, defenseman Hunter Skinner, and some conditional draft picks. And so even Mikola, he is going to play a role in this Rangers lineup. Not like the biggest name, but he's going to be another guy that plays a big role for them. He's actually slotted on the first D pair right now with Adam Fox as Ryan Lindgren's out of the lineup. But you get him in the lineup, that just makes their defense so much deeper. And again, the Rangers, I think they're kind of done here. They're not going to do too much more. You only have $29,000 in cap space. So you can't really, you're kind of tied up there.
Make it work.
You could make it work, you know, sign, you know, one of us for like $4.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Pick up some bucks, $4.
So I think Tarasenko brings some good veteran presence too to this team. He's won a cup with the Blues. Well, I don't think any guys in this offense here really, or even, none of the guys in this lineup, I don't think have won a cup. I think maybe, no, Barclay Goodrow. Yeah, Patrick Barclay Goodrow is the only. Oh, yeah, besides Kane. I'm talking about guys that are just in their lineup right now. Yeah. Kane hasn't made his debut yet.
Right.
But, yeah, Barclay Goodrow and Tarasenko are the only guys that are actually playing tonight that have won a cup. So I think that brings a little bit more experience to this team, which you need to make a run here. And I'll tell you what, this East is just going to be insane. I can't wait to watch some playoff hockey. You got, like we talked about, the Devils stacked up. You got the Leafs, the Rangers. I wouldn't be surprised if Tampa doesn't make a move here. I would be very surprised if they don't get more.
They grabbed our boy Tanner Janot. I left him off the sheet. They grabbed our boy Tanner Janot.
Yeah, that was a big haul. It was like, I don't remember all the years, but it was a first, a second, a third, a fourth, and a fifth. Like, come on. Like, for a bottom six player, that's just crazy. But I think a team like that, they can't be hanging up the phones yet. I think some of these other teams now in the East, they're really going to have to pick up the phones a little bit more if they want to stay in the picture. I think Buffalo's got to pick up the phone. They've got to start making some trade talks. because they're one of those teams. They're slowly sneaking in the wild card race here. I think
I don't think they can compete though. Like I don't think that they're one move away, you know what I mean? Like I think if you're Buffalo, you just kind of, you know, white knuckle it, put your head down, work hard, whatever happens happens, because no one was betting on you to be in this position anyway. So
yeah, but it's cool for them to be there, and I'm all about it. The Craig Anderson show over there, love to see it. Grizzled vet in the net. But yeah, and I think with all these teams in the East doing all this, the West, they're really gonna have to bulk up a lot. They got to be ready when come Stanley Cup Finals time to play against one of these powerhouse teams. And one little betting note is, you know, after the Rangers made all these moves, they're plus 1,200 to win the Stanley Cup on FanDuel. So
I know Kane's not playing tonight, but like right now they're tied with the Flyers. Like this team already is, you know, reloaded. Like they got Tarasenko. They have a great top line, right? They have great goaltending. Like, what are you doing? You know, obviously they could still win this game, but like playing from behind up against a team like the Flyers, you know, these last couple of losses that they've had, the Capitals, the Jets, Detroit, even, like, I know Detroit right now, they've been playing very well, but I don't know. I'm not saying that they're frauds just yet, but let's see what they what they look like with Patrick Kane. If they don't get going on a run here, like, they might be in trouble. I know that they had a nice run where they won, I think, like five or six in a row, but then they dropped four straight, like, you know, and then they beat LA, which, you know, they should have beat LA, but.
So you're saying there's a possibility they could be Fugazis?
I think it's going to be a little Fugazi, dipping their hands in the gabagool. I don't know.
As Biz says, the Fugazis. He loves his Fugazis over there at the Chicklets.
I don't know. I'm not big buyers of the Rangers. I'm also a Devils fan, so it's tough for me to buy in. I'm rooting for Pat Kane. Like, I want him to win another cup. I want him to do well, but it's tough for me to, you know, really lean into the Rangers, you know, being Devils fan. So we'll see. And like we said, the East is just loaded. Like, we could see Carolina and the Rangers in the second round, and you know, you got a great team walking home.
Right.
All right, that's all that we have for this episode. Appreciate you following along with us. Be sure to download the episode. Leave us a positive review. You can find me on Twitter at SGPNJB. Nick, let them know where they can find you.
Yeah, Face Off with OZ on Twitter. Go over there, all hockey content over there, NHL, as well as ONU Tigers Hockey. The journey is kind of over right now. The season just ended, but there's still some content over there at ONU Tigers Hockey.
Love it, love it, love it. Take care, be well, be good. But if you can't be good at it. We'll see you.